ॐ अग्निचमनन्दस्य अर्जुनार्जुनसुलभया चक्षु सुमृतं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्वपितं येन बुद्धले सायं भगदा मायां ददति सा भजन्तिकम् We've been hearing about the incredible transcendental pastimes of Krishna in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Incredible because the Supreme Lord, the all-powerful, not only all-powerful, the unlimitedly powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead, is acting as He likes in His most intimate abode, His most intimate quarters, with His most intimate and beloved associates and devotees. In my mind, I liken it again to a king or a president or a prime minister. He has so many official obligations. He has so many people who come to him with big smiles on their face, being very polite and sweet with him, but only wanting things from him. But then he goes to his private quarters, his private house, where he can be with his most beloved family members, and he can just relax and be himself. Actually act as he actually is. Because he's with those whom he trusts fully and who because they love him so completely. He can He can just be himself. He can just relax. He can do the things that he can have the most intimate exchanges. And that's what Krishna does in Vrindavan. The most intimate exchanges, not always acting or showing his powers as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, those will always come out in one way or another. But by the mercy of Krishna's Lila Shakti and his Yoga Maya, even though that showing of powers doesn't interfere with the sweetness of the exchanges that he has with his intimate devotees. We are meant to hear these things, so we become attracted away from the material world. If we don't get a taste for to actually be with Krishna, we shouldn't act above our realization. But yet, if we don't desire to be with Krishna, then where will we desire to be? By nature, every living entity is full of desires. It is impossible to be zero in desires. We may try, because desires in the material world mean pain. So people, they take the number of their material desires, and materialists try to increase their happiness by increasing their desires and their capacity to satisfy their desires. That's the way that the karmis work. A materialist, fruitive worker, they increase their desires and their Shakti, especially their Lakshmi Devi, their control over the material energy, money especially, because money means power, Shakti. So that they have the power to fulfill as many of their desires as they can. And the Jnanis know that that is a fruitless way of happiness. Because if we satisfy one desire, our desires increase by 100-fold. Our list grows 10 times as much. So they have a different formula for happiness. Because they see that karma is... Because passion leads to an increase of desires, and increase of desire means distress, simply distress. So the Jnani's formula for happiness is decreasing the number of desires. So they don't desire anything. And that is the most dry and difficult and dangerous situation to be in. Neutral platform. The devotees, because it's unnatural. And when one is in an unnatural situation, he so easily falls into material allurements of one kind or another. Because it's unnatural for a soul to give up desires. The natural position of the soul in giving in with desires is to desire very deeply and fully in Krishna's service. So therefore, in Srimad Bhagavatam, anartha upasamam shakshat bhakti yogir hukshide lokasya ajanato. People in general do not know where to place their desires, so therefore Srila Vyasadeva Chakre Satvita Samhita is compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the bright shining face of the Srimad Bhagavatam is this 10th canto. And here in the 12th chapter, Krishna has entered Vrindavan. They are staying, camping at Satikara, just near Krishna Balaram Mandir, with the carts in a circle. And Krishna has gone out. He's been given charge of the calves, not yet the cows. He's given charge of the cows on the Gopastami day in Kartik, in his 6th year, which will be in chapter 15. Now we're in chapter 12. This is Krishna relaxing, playing with his, exchanging rasa, exchanging sweet mellows with his deepest devotees. Ultimately, that is what everyone is looking for. Intimate, loving relationships, but in the material world, that search for intimacy and loving relationship causes frustration because it is misdirected within the material world, to the material world. Rather, we want to open up our relationship with Krishna through bhakti, through devotional service. So, last week on Friday, we read up to some of the playing of the cowherd boys with Krishna. And they were enjoying so much in a very, very sweet and innocent ways. We'll read text 5. I don't think we read that previously. All the cowherd boys used to steal one another's lunch bag. Did we read that? When a boy came to understand that his bag had been taken away, the other boy would throw it farther away. This is typical boyish playing, but in the spiritual world, far different from the material world, Krishna is the center, and Krishna's pleasure is the center. And therefore, the result is transcendental ecstasy. Oh, when boys love to play in this way, and that's the reflection that we've seen is in the material world. So boys enjoy so much playing in this way, and their rivalries and playing with their friends in this way, pushing and taking this and taking that. They enjoy so much. Just imagine Sandha Shaka Nyaya. Just imagine what it is like to enjoy and play in the company of the all-attractive, sweetest, most beautiful, most clever personality, Sri Krishna. So the boys used to steal one another's lunch bags. When a boy came to understand that his bag had been taken away, the other boys would throw it further away to a more distant place. They would tease each other in that way. And those standing there would throw it still further. When the proprietor of the bag became disappointed, the other boys would laugh. Very, very boyish. They would tease him and make him cry. The proprietor would cry. And then, when that happy exchange of making the boy cry, then all the other boys, they would return his lunch back with him. When he got angry, first there's anger, and then frustration, and then crying. Then the boys are all right, and they would tease him a little more and give him back his lunch bag. But Krishna is in the center of this. These are dealings that are so incredible. Because if you're playing, if you're sitting next to someone eating lunch, we were reading about the same pastime on Sunday. If you're sitting next to a person that you have the sweetest intimate relationship with, everything is wonderful. But if you're sitting next to someone who you despise and hate, and you have no relationship, then the pleasure is very, very minimal. Everything depends on relationship. So when that relationship is exchanged with Krishna in the center, then the heart becomes filled with transcendental happiness. Purport by Prabhupada. This kind of playing and stealing among boys still exists even in the material world, because this kind of sporting pleasure is present in the spiritual world from which this idea of enjoyment emanates. Every soul, every person, not only humans, but everyone, every soul, regardless of the body, has some concept, either primitive or developed, of enjoyment. This is at the core of everyone's existence. Enjoyment. Krishna is anandamaya bhyasat. And we are also mamaya vangso angsa. We are Krishna's angsa part, so we have that tendency for enjoyment. And we're looking, where is that enjoyment going to be? We look here, we look there, we look here, we look there. But unless we really learn to look to Krishna and only focus on Krishna, that enjoyment tendency will always be frustrated. How to give Krishna pleasure? How to look towards Krishna? This is really the teachings of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. How to, because Krishna bhule se jivanadya bahimuk. Turning our back on Krishna, we're in the material world. So we have to turn towards Krishna and make him the object, vishaya, the object of our desires. So this desire for sporting pleasure is present in the spiritual world from which this idea of enjoyment emanates. Janmadyasya yataha, Vedanta Sutra 112. The same enjoyment is displayed by Krishna and his associates in the spiritual world, but there the enjoyment is eternal, whereas here on the material platform it is temporary. There the enjoyment is Brahman, or here the enjoyment is Jada. What does Jada mean?
Dull.
Inert. Dull. Can we enjoy with something inert, where there is no true reciprocation? No. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to train one how to transform oneself from the jada, the unconscious, dull material realm, to the Brahman, because human life is meant for this purpose. Atato Brahma Gigyasa. Krishna comes down to teach us how we can enjoy with him on the spiritual platform in the spiritual world. Not only does he come, but he personally displays his pastimes in Vrindavan and attracts people to spiritual enjoyment. Next text. Sometimes Krishna would go to a somewhat distant place to see the beauty of the forest. Then all the other boys would run to accompany him, each one saying, "I shall be the first to run and touch Krishna. I shall touch Krishna first." Everyone wanted to be with Krishna. In this way, they enjoyed life by repeatedly touching Krishna. Krishna's body is composed of bliss. And to touch the touch of Krishna's hand, there are so many pastimes where Krishna touches, or someone touches Krishna, or Krishna touches someone, and they become filled fully with ecstasy. Because Krishna, it's like touching fire. When one touches fire, one gets hot, one gets burnt. When one touches Krishna's transcendental body, one becomes filled with ecstasy. Even if one is already on the ecstatic platform, still, by the touch of Krishna, what is Krishna's touch compared to? Does anyone remember? A sprout. Very soft, very soft. There's a comment by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur on this verse. Find it. Text 6. Probably a short comment. Yes. When Krishna wandered off to see the beauty of a distant forest, the boys would run after him, shouting, "I will touch Krishna first." And then the next boy would say, "No, I will." And the next one, "No, I will." Just like boys, but the center was always. Always and simply Krishna. Always and simply Krishna. Text 7 through 11, a few verses strung together. And the last of these verses is a very famous verse. And when we get up to that verse, I'll read the Sanskrit. All the boys would be differently engaged. Some boys blew their flutes, and others blew bugles made of horns. Some imitated the buzzing of the bumblebees, and others imitated the voice of the cuckoo. What does a cuckoo sound like? Are there any cuckoos in this room? No one will admit it. What is the cuckoo's? Coo, coo, something like that. Punctuated very, very regularly, they make sounds like that. What color is the cuckoo? Blackish color. Some boys imitated flying birds by running after the bird's shadow on the ground. Some imitated the beautiful movements and attractive postures of the swans. Some sat down with the ducks, sitting silently, and others imitated the dancing of the peacocks. Some boys attracted young monkeys in the trees. Some jumped into the trees, imitating the monkeys. Some made faces as the monkeys were accustomed to do, and others jumped from one branch to another. So playing like boys, but with Krishna. Some boys went to the waterfalls and crossed over the river, jumping with the frogs. When they saw their own reflections on the water, they would laugh. They would also condemn the sounds of their own echoes. And then, in the last verse, because these sound just like playful activities. But the last verse explains something different, how far different this is than the material world. Itam satam brahmasukhana bhutya dasyam gatanam paradai vitvena maya sritananam narapangavena sakyam vicharu krita punja punja. In this way, all the cowherd boys used to play with Krishna, who is the source of the Brahman effulgence for the jnanis. There are those who attempt their spiritual realization with jnana, through knowledge and renunciation, trying to reduce their desires, and their hope is to merge with and become one with the Supreme. So that oneness that they are longing for is the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So it is Krishna, but not an intimate aspect of Krishna. That is what the jnanis, the impersonalists who are seeking knowledge. So in this way, the coward boys used to play with Krishna, who was the source of the Brahman effulgence for jnanis desiring to merge into that effulgence, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead for devotees who have accepted eternal servitorship. So there are devotees who have a general relationship with Krishna, and they're worshipping God with great awe and reverence, like this. And the jnanis, again, they wish to merge into him and become one with him. But the coward boys, having accumulated the results of pious activities for many lives, were able to associate in this way with the Supreme Personality of Godhead so intimately. So intimate association. How is it possible? Everyone is trying to approach the Supreme Lord in one way or another. Well, not everyone, but many, many persons. But who has such an intimacy of relationship? How can one achieve that? So how can one explain their greater fortune, that they have such an intimate dealing, an intimate, intimate, loving dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So we shouldn't obviously think it is ordinary playing. This is the most extraordinary playing. This is the most intimate of intimate relationships that it's possible to have with the Absolute Truth. So intimate. Purport by Prabhupada. As recommended by Srila Rupa Goswami, Tasmat Kenya Pupayena Mana Krishna Naseveyat. Somehow or other, whether one thinks of Krishna as an ordinary human child, as the source of the Brahman effulgence, or as the origin of Paramatma, or as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should concentrate one's full attention upon the lotus feet of Krishna. What did Prabhupada say that Rupa Goswami is saying there? What is the essence of it? Somehow the mind should be focused on Krishna. This is the essence. We do 24 hours a day, we're doing something or another. Even if we're sleeping, we're doing something. We're sleeping and our mind is going here and there, even though our body is stationary on the bed. There's always activity. And that the activity should be focused, the consciousness should be focused on the lotus feet of Krishna, which means pleasing Krishna with great love, ultimately. But somehow pleasing Krishna, focusing the consciousness on Krishna, then there will be a perfect result. That is also the instruction of Bhagavad Gita. Now, interestingly, this is what Prabhupada says, focusing the mind on Krishna, he said, concentrating the mind on Krishna. And then he says, this is also spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. And what verse does he quote? Savadamam prityajam mamekam sharanam braja. That one should give up all forms of religion and surrender unto me. Mamekam sharanam. Surrender unto me alone. And Prabhupada here is equating that with concentrating one's mind on Krishna, which means full surrender, sharanagati. Because when one is fixed in devotion, one is fixed in trying to please Krishna, and then service is clearly added to the devotion. Because one is trying to do something due to one's devotion, due to one's affection. One is trying to do something to please the object of the affection. Otherwise, there's no meaning to devotion. So that giving up everything for Krishna means focusing one's mind on Him. And that's what Krishna explains in the verse prior to that. What is the verse prior to Savadamam Pratyaja? Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto. Put your mind upon me and become my devotee. So put your mind on me in devotion. And how to do that? How to learn to do that, which is the goal of the whole thing, of the whole process. How to learn to do that? Prabhupada explains that in the next line. Srimad Bhagavatam is the easiest way of directly approaching Krishna. Ishvara sadyo riddhi avarudyate tra kritibhi shushushibhis tachanat. The second verse of the Bhagavatam explains that Krishna tachanat immediately becomes established in the heart. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamune Krite Kimva Paraya Ishvara. That immediately Krishna becomes established in the heart. For one who puts their attention on hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Diverting even a little of one's attention towards Krishna and activities in Krishna consciousness immediately enables one to achieve the highest perfection of life. What is Prabhupada? What is the meaning of that? Immediately enables one, even a little attention immediately enables one to achieve the highest perfection of life. And what is it, where does the immediately fit in? Is it immediate or are you getting on the
immediate beginning?
The immediate beginning. What do you think? That's what I think. The immediate beginning. Like when you get on the plane to go to that's gonna get off at the Delhi airport and you could say I'm there already practically. I'm in Vrindavan because you're not really fully there yet, but you've taken such a step that you're getting there. Krishna willing is guaranteed. So immediately enables one to achieve the highest perfection of life. There is such an encouragement in that to stay on the path of Krishna consciousness and achieve the highest perfection of life, which is this this intimate dealings between Krishna and the devotees. This is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. It is not only the International Society for spreading Krishna consciousness, it's the International Society for being Krishna conscious also and helping others as well. Lokasya janato vidvam chakre sadvita samhita. The secret of success is unknown to people in general, and therefore, Srila Vyasadeva, being compassionate towards the poor souls in this material world, especially in this age of Kali, has given us the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Mamalam Yad Vaishnavaram Priyam. For Vaishnavas who are somewhat advanced, who are fully aware of the glories and potencies of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavatam is a beloved Vedic literature. Priyam. Vaishnavanam priyam. It is dear to the Vaishnavas. Why? Because Krishna is described. After all, we have to change this body. Tatav dehantara praptir. It is unavoidable. If we do not care about Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we do not know what the next body will be. But if one adheres to these two books, which two books? Yes. One is sure to attain the association of Krishna in the next life. Chakvadeham Purna Janma Naiti Mam Eti. So Arjuna. Therefore, distribution of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world is a great welfare activity for theologians, philosophers, transcendentalists, and yogis. Which one are you? As well as for the people in general. That's where we fit in, perhaps. Janma labdha para pamsam ante narayana smriti. So that is such great welfare work. Tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam kaviviriditam kamasapaham savana mangalam srimaratitam buri garanti ye buri dajana. It is heavy. It's a heavy thing to be giving the Srimad Bhagavatam because Krishna is revealed in it. And look at the promises that are made here. And if one somehow remembers Krishna at the end of one's life will be successful. So it is a good thing or is it a bad thing if someone leaves this world remembering Krishna? Success. What can one say? It's success. We think, oh, how unfortunate leaving this world. But no one can avoid leaving this world. But this is real success. Yeah, in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, it decries staying in this world without achieving this success. What is the use of a long life like a tree? Who they have trees in these giant redwood trees in Northern California that live for thousands of years. There's some that really have been there since the beginning of Kali Yuga. 5,000 years, these big old trees. How about the great Pemberton giants? How old are they?
The oldest tree in the world is in Tasmania.
Yeah, how old is the tree? You don't know.
I just read it. I can't remember.
So old. But what is the use? What is the use of just having longevity of life without achieving success? And then, on the other hand, if one achieves success, then one has achieved success. Who is fortunate? Who is unfortunate? Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also comments on these verses. The cowherd boys blew bugles made of buffalo horns, specifically of buffalo horns. They seem to be the preferred horn. In fact, the word horn, you know, on the car, in the musical instrument, they all come from the horn of the buffalo and cow, the word in English, because this is the natural thing for the boys to blow. Anyway, the cowherd boys, blowing their buffalo horns, they chase the shadows of birds and pull the tails of baby monkeys. Ah, this is fun. Did you ever pull baby monkey's tail? That's a no, not in Bengal.
It happened.
Huh?
Yeah.
You've done it? You won't admit it.
My friend, he went to his stand and put big slap on it. Looked like so short.
Who slapped who? The monkey slapped the boy or the boy slapped? They would climb the trees by grabbing the tails of the monkeys and hanging from the branches. They were naughty boys. After imitating the funny faces of the monkeys, the boys would jump from tree to from tree branch to branch. They leaped over the frogs into pools of water, which were created by the cascading waterfalls. Upon seeing their reflections on the water, they would laugh heartily. Raising their arms, the boys would shout loudly in a playful mood. Then they would curse their echoes. They would go into caves. And they would scream in there, "Are! Who is that speaking?" Hearing a single syllable echoed back, "Speaking!" The boys would become angry. "What is this?" The echo would reply, "Re, re, re." And the boys would say, "Today you will die." In this way, they would curse again and again and never come to an end. Because they would say, "You will die." And then the echo would say, "You will die. You will die. You will die." In this way, they're just being boys and playing. And then he comments on that text 11. How amazing it is that this intimate playing is going on with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to be playing with, where there is no love and affection, there is no pleasure. So when the playing is centered on the love and the full-blown love and affection with Krishna, fully developed love for Krishna, then every little thing causes the greatest of ecstasies. Even little things of shouting at echoes, because Krishna is then playing. Because when you're with your... I remember when I was young and in junior high school, we used to watch wrestling on television. And there was fun watching it. But the real fun was the next day going to school and talking to your friends about what you saw and what they... And if you saw something they didn't see, or you could say, "Oh yeah, I saw that." That was the real taste in it. The exchange with your friends. That's what gives the pleasure in everything. So after describing the playing of the coward boys, this verse shows the unique good fortune of the Brajavasis as compared with others. There are three types of people in this world: Kamis, Gyanis, and Bhaktas. The word satam indicates those jnanis who possess some trace of devotion. Itam satam brahmasukhana bhutya. The inhabitants of Braja used to play freely with Krishna, who is the source of the knowledge and happiness the jnanis seek in Brahman. They are trying for oneness. And this is very, very common in this world, to try for oneness with God or with the Absolute Truth. Very, very common nowadays. But that knowledge and that happiness is just emanating from this transcendental form of Krishna that the coward boys are playing with. One can understand from this that Krishna's body, with which the Brijbasis played and touched, contains the Brahman that they're longing for. The word satam, transcendentalists, cannot apply to those jnanis who think that Krishna's body is material. In other words, the Mayavadis. The phrase dasya gananam refers to all the genuine devotees beside the Brijbasis who see Krishna as their worshipable Lord. The Brijbasis were so fortunate that they directly played with Krishna, who was seen by these other devotees as their reverent Lord. The Brijbasis joyfully sported with Krishna, who is perceived as an ordinary human by the materialistic sense enjoyers covered by the illusory potency of the Lord. The Jnanis have realization of Krishna, but they cannot play with him. The Dasya Bhaktas, the Lord's surrendered servants, worship Krishna in reverence, but they are not qualified to play with Krishna. Again, what does it take to become qualified to play with Krishna in this intimate way? Kṛta punya punya, that means piety, but Vishwanath will explain it is not material piety. It is heaps or mountains of devotional service performed. Although Krishna, The Karmis have no respect for Krishna, so they neither realize nor worship him, what to speak of playing with him. Although Krishna is made of complete bliss, his body, he has a transcendental, unlimited body, and it is composed just like this body is composed of there's some hairs and some bones and some flesh and some blood and some corpuscles and nail and callus and skin and lymph and this and that. But Krishna's body is made of ecstasy. That's what it's actually composed of, ananda. So Krishna's body is made of complete bliss. Although Krishna's body is made of complete bliss, he experienced intense ecstasy playing with the Vrishbhasis in various pastimes of love. Krishna also longs for these exchanges with his beloved devotees. They too attain the pinnacle of joy in his association. What does pinnacle mean? Yeah, the topmost. The very, 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 very top. The pinnacle is the little point on the pinnacle, the topmost. There's no ecstasy more than the intimate dealings with Krishna. Of course, this is therefore the Vrishbhasis were more fortunate than all others, Krita Punja. Of course, this is a material viewpoint. For the Nitya Siddha Vrishbhasis, Krishna's eternal associates, who far surpass the Jnanis and Dasya Bhaktas, the cause of the playing with Krishna is not material piety. Here the word punya, Krita Punja Punja, can only mean activities pleasing to Krishna. This is devotional service. To act, says, heaps mountains. It takes mountains of activities that are pleasing for Krishna. And what is pleasing to Krishna? Patram pushpam palam toyam yumam bhakti priyachati taraham bhaktu paritam asnami. Just something done with devotion, even if it is very, very small. But really, with devotion to the offering to him, that gives Krishna pleasure, and it takes heaps of those activities, Krita Punja Punja, to attain this very exalted position. It can only mean, this Krita Punja Punja can only mean activities pleasing to Krishna, but by which Krishna comes under the devotee's control. It does not mean material piety or heaps of good deeds. Text 12. Yogis, more on this point, may undergo severe austerities and penance for many births by practicing yam, niyam, asan, and pranayam, none of which are easily performed. Yet, in due course of time, when these yogis attain the perfection of controlling the mind, they will still be unable to taste even a particle of dust from the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because that dust, or the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord, or service to Krishna, is the property of the devotees. Krishna does not award that to either the jnanis, the karmis, or the yogis. The yogis are closer than the jnanis, and they're closer than the karmis. But because they work very, very hard to concentrate their minds, so much of yoga, chitta vritti nirodha, yogam chitta vritti nirodha, to stop the fluctuations of the mind. This is the purpose of yoga. After so much hard work, but still they cannot taste the sweetness of Krishna's lotus feet, of that kind of, this kind of intimate service. So Sukadeva is explaining this, and he's the topmost of yogis. Yet in due course of time, when these yogis attain the perfection of controlling the mind, they will still be unable to taste even a particle of dust from the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then can we describe about the great fortune of the inhabitants of Brajabhumi, Vrindavan, with whom the Supreme Personality of God had personally lived and who saw the Lord face to face. So how glorious are these personalities. Prabhupada's very short purport. We can simply imagine the great fortune of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. It is impossible to describe how, after many, many births of pious activities, they have become so fortunate. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also has a comment. What to speak of playing with Krishna? Even establishing a relationship with Krishna is very rare. That is the intent of this verse. The yogis cannot attain even one particle of dust of Krishna's feet, padapamsu, nor can the yogis attain one particle of reflected light from the trees of Vrindavan. So how? In other words, what he's doing is glorifying this unique position of the residents of Vrindavan, lest that we think, oh, this playing sounds like fun. I saw the boys playing in the park in a similar way. This is the most extraordinary thing. The most extraordinary thing. Simple, but most extraordinary because it's intimacy with Krishna. Those who fully concentrate their minds cannot attain Krishna. Thus it was stated earlier that Krishna is sukapa, not easily attained. Svayam stita, being self-situated, indicates that seeing Krishna does not depend even on the performance of sadhana. Oh, what great fortune! Or what a happy festival! Who can describe the good fortune or happiness of the Brijbasis who constantly see Krishna? Why is it compared to a happy festival? Yeah, and what is the festival? Without decorations, without the environment being decorated, without the flowers and this and the that and the this and the that, what is a festival? The atmosphere doesn't appear festive. So the greatest decoration to see is chanvantam phalamidam param. The perfection of the eyes is to see Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan. So such fortune is unobtainable by the yogis. Though they concentrate their minds for lifetimes, they cannot even attain a particle of dust at Krishna's feet. So this is the comparison he's making to these boys of Vrindavan, to the Karmis, the Gyanis, the Yogis. My dear King Pritchett, thereafter there appeared a great demon named Agasura, whose death was being awaited even by the demigods. The demigods drank nectar every day, but still they feared this great demon and awaited his death. In other words, they were afraid of him, even though they were taking amrit. This demon could not tolerate the transcendental pleasure being enjoyed in the forest by the cowherd boys. When you hear that, he could not tolerate the pleasure they were experiencing. What word comes to your mind to describe this Agasura?
Yeah, the biggest
enemy. Okay, but there's envy. He could not tolerate it. And his name is Aga, sinful. So envy is actually caused by sinfulness in the heart. Cannot tolerate the pleasure of another. So he's a demon. Purport. One may ask how Krishna's pastimes could be interrupted by a demon. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur answers this question by saying that although the transcendental pleasure being enjoyed by the cowherd boys could not be stopped, unless they stopped the transcendental pleasure of their various activities, they could not eat their lunch. Well, it's a very funny thing. We'll talk about this a little more. That it was lunchtime. Therefore, at lunchtime, Agasura appeared by the arrangement of Yogamaya, so that for the time being they could stop their activities and take lunch. So all these different activities are arranged by Krishna's internal energy for the pleasure of Krishna and his associates. Changing varieties are the mother of enjoyment. The coward boys would continuously play, then stop, and then again enjoy in a different way. Therefore, every day a demon would come and interrupt their sporting pastimes. The demon would be killed, then the boys would engage again in their transcendental pastimes. And they would have the opportunity to see some of the extraordinary activities of Krishna. And we get the opportunity to hear about his extraordinary activities beyond these common sound. These activities in which he plays with the coward boys are the most uncommon activities. Because he's not showing any power, he's just showing his madhurya or sweetness. But yet, sometimes he displays superhuman activities, does things that are possible only for the Supreme Personality of Godhead as well. Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Seeing that the boys were relishing ever-increasing bliss by playing, just consider that concept, ever-increasing bliss. Ever-increasing. Ever-increasing means forever increasing. It's continuously increasing forever, their ecstasy, playing with Krishna. And that they would not stop playing, and knowing that they would not take time out to eat, and that eating time had already passed, and seeing that it was also necessary to kill a demon, Krishna's Lila Shakti, his Yoga Maya, inspired the Agasura demon through the Supersoul and brought him near the boys. So even though a demon is present, he's not outside the control of Krishna. This is all in Vrindavan, everything is done for Krishna's pleasure. Agasura could not tolerate the fun the boys were having. The various sports they played filled the boys with pleasure, but the demon experienced only suffering. Envy. The demigods who drank the celestial nectar were afraid of being killed by the demon, so they eagerly awaited his death. Yad can also refer to playing, and anta can mean in the heart. Then the meaning would be Agasura could not tolerate the gopas playing, which was meditated upon by the demigods, and which alone gave them the desire to maintain their lives, although they already drank nectar amrita. Agasura, text 14, who had been sent by Kamsa, was the younger brother of Putana and Bakasura. And therefore, when he came and saw Krishna at the head of all the coward boys, he thought, "This Krishna has killed my sister and brother, Putana and Bakasura. Therefore, in order to please them both, I shall kill this Krishna along with his assistants, the other coward boys." Text 15. Agasura thought, "If somehow or another I can make Krishna and his associates serve as the last offering of sesame and water for the departed souls of my brother and sister, then the inhabitants of Brajabhumi, for whom these boys are the life and soul, will automatically die." So he was trying to kill them, to kill all the residents of Vrindavan. So he was quite envious because Krishna had killed his brother and sister Putana. It was quite a family. Putana, Bakasura, and Agasura. And he had killed them, but they were trying to kill him. So he was thinking he needed to retaliate and get revenge. "If there is no life, there is no need for the body. Consequently, when their sons are dead, naturally all the inhabitants of Braja will die." Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur says, observing all the cowherd boys headed by Krishna, Agasura, the younger brother of Putana, and Bakasura considered, "This person has killed my older sister Putana and my brother, And on their behalf, therefore, I will kill Krishna as an offering along with his followers. If Krishna and the other boys become the sacrificial offering to the pretas, for my brother and sisters, Nanda and the other inhabitants of Braj will automatically die. If life has left the body, need we worry any more about the bodies? About the bodies, their bodies? Living entities live through their children. Therefore, if their beloved child Krishna dies, then Nanda, Yasoda, and the rest of the Brijbasis will automatically die without our having to kill them. Ooh. After thus deciding, that crooked Agasura assumed the form of a huge Agajara. Means? Agajara. Yes. Agajara? Ajagara.
Python.
Python. What's?
Ajagara.
Ajagara.
Yes.
A python as thick as a big mountain and as long as 8 miles. Having assumed this young, wonderful python body, he spread his mouth like a big cave in the mountains and lay down on the road expecting to swallow Krishna and his associates, the coward boys. His lower lip rested on the surface of the earth and his upper lip was touching the clouds in the sky. The borders of his mouth resembled the sides of a big cave in a mountain, and the middle of his mouth was as dark as possible. How dark is it possible to be dark? His tongue resembled a broad traffic way, a highway. His breath was like warm wind, and his eyes blazed like fire. Upon seeing this demon's wonderful form, which resembled a great python, the boys thought that it must be a beautiful scenic spot of Vrindavan. Therefore, they imagined it to be similar to the mouth of a great python. In other words, the boys, unafraid, thought that it was a statue made in the shape of a great python for the enjoyment of their pastimes. Prabhupada's purport. Some of the boys, upon seeing this wonderful phenomenon, thought that it was in fact a python, and that they were fleeing, and they decided to flee from the spot. But others said, "Why are you fleeing? Why are you running? It is not possible that a python like this, so huge, is staying here. This is a spot of great beauty for sporting." They thought that the python, because these snakes have the ability to be very, very still and not move. They're cold-blooded. So they thought he was as still as a statue. This is what they were imagining. Some of the boys were afraid, though. Vishwanath says, a few boys thought that Agasura was a big snake, so they started to run away upon seeing it. Other boys, however, thought that Agasura was simply a wonderful scenic spot of Vrindavan. They comforted their fearful friends, saying, "Oh, fools, a snake can never be this big. It is just some statue fashioned by the Lord so that we can appreciate the splendor of Vrindavan even more. Krishna made it look like a huge snake with a big gaping mouth." In this way, the cowherd boys thought that the Lord's creation was something like the gaping mouth of the serpent made just for pastimes. 19. The boy said, "Dear friend, is this creature dead? Or is it actually a living python with its mouth spread wide just to swallow us all? Kindly clear up this doubt." Purport. Two sentences. The friends began to discuss amongst themselves the reality of the wonderful creature laying before them. Was it dead or was it actually a living python trying to swallow them up? Its mouth was huge and wide open. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has a short comment. Some boys called out to their elder friends to confirm their thoughts. "Is this some type of immovable living entity?" The word kuta means a peak, indicating some large animal. "Is it some resting tiger or some big animal waiting to devour us with its open mouth?" Thereafter, they decided, "Dear friends, this is certainly an animal sitting here to swallow us all. Its upper lip resembles a cloud reddened by the sunshine, and its lower lip resembles the reddish shadows of a cloud. 20. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's short comment. Agreeing with them, one boy said, "Its upper lip resembles a cloud reddened by the sunshine. Its lower lip appears like the reddish shadows of a cloud." That's what the verse said. Text 21. On the left and right, the two depressions resembling mountain caves are the corners of its mouth, and the high mountain peaks are its teeth. In length and breadth, the animal's tongue resembles a broad traffic way, and the inside of its mouth is very, very dark, like a cave in a mountain. The hot, fiery wind is the breath coming out of its mouth, which is giving off the bad smell of burning flesh because of all the dead bodies he has eaten. Then the boy said, "Has this living creature come to swallow us? If he does so, he'll immediately be killed like Bakasura without delay." Thus they looked at the beautiful face of Krishna, the enemy of Bakasura, and laughing loudly and clapping their hands, they entered the mouth of the python. Prabhupada's purport. After talking about the terrible animal this way, about this way and that, they decided to enter the demon's mouth. They had full faith in Krishna because they had experienced how Krishna had saved them from the mouth of Bakasura. How can one have faith unless one has experience? How can one have faith in Krishna unless one has experience of Krishna's protection? And how can one have experience of Krishna's protection unless one does things and depends on Krishna and sees how miraculously he works? And then the material energy will tend to cover that anyway. And we forget so easily. But yet the more experience, the more faith-giving experience one has, especially if one takes risks for Krishna preaching. Regularly, practically speaking, one can experience the touch of Krishna's hand. Well, not only just preaching, but preaching, anything done for Krishna. He shows himself undoubtedly to that soul who's trying to please him. They had full faith in Krishna because they had experienced how Krishna had saved them from the mouth of Bakasura. Now here was another asura, Agasura, and therefore they wanted to enjoy the sport of entering the demon's mouth and being saved by Krishna, the enemy of Bakasura. One boy replied, they entered the mouth of the python, clapping their hands. One boy replied, "If this creature is really a snake, he may swallow us if we enter his mouth." One boy pacified him by saying, "If that is so, that he's a snake, then in an instant, Krishna will kill him, just as he has vanquished Baka. Krishna's right here, so why should we worry?" Saying this, the boy smiled and looked towards Krishna, who was standing some distance away. Getting this confirmation, all the cowherd boys began to laugh loudly while speaking. "Hey, Sakas, let us find out what's in that mouth." It was as dark as a mountain cave. Then they entered the demon's mouth. Out of boyish curiosity, clapping their hands to show their courage and fearlessness, or to dismiss the snake. The boys ran inside the snake's gaping mouth. The calves ran after them with their tails raised. So we'll stop here.
Entering.
There's some really interesting purports, especially by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, how this could have happened in the presence of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda.